This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Chicago.
Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. Tyler Aki, Shay Norling. We're with you for half an hour this morning, leading you into the CDGA Golf Show. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. Good morning, Shay. And we've got some football to talk with you today because we are inside of 2 weeks until the NFL draft takes place in
12 days.
Lovely, lovely hometown of Detroit, Michigan. And listen, the number one overall pick, that's been signed, sealed, delivered. That's an unknown quantity right now. It's honestly not even worth discussing what could the Bears do with number one, because we all know what the Bears are going to do with number one. But we get to number nine, and I feel like the ninth pick has been very fascinating on a number of fronts, because I love the pre-draft conversation where you see guys rise up draft boards like we've seen with J.J. McCarthy. Who knows where J.J. McCarthy is going to end up getting drafted? You see guys who are falling, a la Brock Bowers, who I think like around this time last year, you and I probably were thinking, oh, that guy's going to be a top five pick in next year's draft because yeah. The way that the tight end position had exploded, his accolades in college and all of that. Who knows where Brock Bowers is going to go in the draft process?
And doesn't it feel like teams kind of had a come-to-Jesus moment with that a little bit?
Maybe, yeah.
I saw a mock that had him in the 20s, and
yeah,
I was that feels a little more right than what was going on preseason.
I've seen some late teens with him, and it's just like, wow, I feel like this guy was a consensus top 5-7 pick not too long ago. But that's kind of just the way that the draft board has shook out when you look at the way that quarterbacks have moved up. The needs of the team, like, I mean, the dismantling of the Chargers could go any direction. They could go offensive line. They could go receiver. Once upon a time, I don't think you or I thought the Chargers could go receiver, but that's certainly plausible after they got rid of Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and their best receiver now is Quentin Johnston. Like, there's a number of ways that this draft board could shake out. And if you're the Bears, you've got a couple of options that could fall in your lap. You could still have Roma Dunze on the board. You could maybe be taking the best defensive player on the board. You may take the first defensive player off the board as well. Who knows? You could go offensive line. You could trade back. There's been little bits and pieces of rumblings that, ooh, could they trade up and maybe go out and get a Marvin Harrison Jr. or something of that nature. There's so many different options to do with number nine, and I do think it is the most fascinating pick in the first, like, 10 of teams that are, like, actually have that pick. I'm not talking about, Vikings trading up to get inside the top five, but of the teams that are currently slated inside the top 10, the Bears at nine is super fascinating to me.
Well, and especially when you think about, like, the chance that quarterbacks could go 1, 2, 3, and 4 with a trade by Arizona, and then the draft effectively starts with the Los Angeles Chargers at pick 5.
Yeah.
This is a really fascinating draft, the way that it's all panned out. And the idea that the Bears have an opportunity to add not only the number one quarterback, but another top 10 player. And Tyler, the more that I've thought about this, like as we've gotten closer and now 12 days away, I really want an edge rusher. Whether it's Jared Verse or Dallas Turner, I would like Verse. I'm not going to get in the weeds about it, but I just think that's the right way to build this team. When you look around the league at what teams are winning championships, they have quantity of quality on the defensive line. And like having Montez Sweat and locking him up is great. The idea that you could pair Montez Sweat with an elite edge rusher in this draft and you take some of the pressure off of that guy. Because you think about, yeah, Aiden Hutchinson, it took him, two seasons to really blossom into an elite player. Mm-hmm. But if you take the pressure off of that guy by not making them do it alone, which Aiden Hutchinson was doing, and I know like the Walker pick in Jacksonville worries people, but again, if you pair him with somebody and he doesn't have to do it alone, Kayvon Thibodeau, same deal. Like none of those guys walked into a situation where the guy opposite them was already an elite edge rusher. It takes a lot of the pressure of getting double teamed. You get single blocks, you get one-on-one opportunities. I want to go that route. I think if you pair Montez Sweat with somebody who has a chance to be elite as well, you are cooking with gas in terms of building this team.
I would go wide receiver still. And there may be a chance that there's no wide receivers there, in which case, yes, I would comply with you and say that the edge rusher is the way that this team should go. But for me, it's still the receiver, because we're talking about building the team. And right now, you've got an elite level, or on the border of elite level edge rusher in terms of Montez Sweat. The way that he was the multiplier for this team last year, think about how good he was, and it made everybody else on the defense. We saw how good the defense can be if you have Montez Sweat and then whoever's on the other side. It's still a pretty good unit. I think if you're talking about building this team, who knows what the future of Keenan Allen is? I think that's very much up in the air. Is he going to be around long term? Is he just going to be a one and done type of deal here in Chicago? And if Keenan Allen isn't your receiver in 2025, you're going to have to find someone. And I think that by going out and potentially adding an elite level option, whether it's Roma Dunze, whether it's Malik Nabers, now I'm not in the camp that would want to trade up, but if you have the opportunity to land one of these receivers, I'm doing it, because I think you're building around your quarterback, and I think it gives you and your young quarterback something to grow with for the future.
Yeah, I get that side of it. My thing is, and it's just, I hate doing like the pre-draft discourse of, well, you can find these guys anywhere, because like, obviously Travis Kelce was taken in the fourth round or whatever, and Gronk was the second round pick, and like all these elite level talents, Tyreek Hill, fifth round pick, Stephon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But you literally can find wide receivers anywhere. And like, even if Keenan Allen is a 1 year option, which it's starting to feel that way to me, certainly, you can get a wide receiver in next year's draft. The idea that you're going to be up here again.
Couldn't you say the same about the edge?
Not really. Like, not to that extent, I don't think. Because you think about some of the elite edge rushers, most of them are taken higher in the draft. Whereas, like, the elite wide receivers, I read this earlier this week, of the highest 10 highest paid wide receivers, only one of them was taken in the first round. It was Calvin Ridley. And to me, like, if the most talented guys at a position are not coming out of the first round of the draft, I feel like I can use that to my advantage and find value there, even if it's a later round pick this year, or if I just say, look, I'm set. I've got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Tyler Scott. Let's face it, not a lot of teams have a third wide receiver that's a legit threat. I think you already have an elite wide receiver room. The defensive line at tackle, unless Jarvon Dexter just turns into an incredible player, there's a hole. And at the opposite edge rusher, I don't want to go into this season like training camp starts and we're having another debate about whether or not you should sign a Yannick Ngakoue type player. Like, if you just draft Verse or Turner, your defensive line is basically set for 5 years.
No doubt about it. But you could say the same thing with the receiver room, because I mean, I know we maybe don't feel like Keenan Allen's long for the Chicago Bears, but I think DJ Moore is. I think you find a way to get a deal done with him. And if you can set up your receiver room for 5 years, like, which would you rather set up in this era of football where it's throw? I'd rather set up my receiver room long term alongside my quarterback.
I'm opposite on that, because I like, quarterback to me is the number one most important thing. And if you find a quarterback, it really doesn't matter how good the receivers are. Look at Kansas City. Like, I get they have Kelce, but look at the Texans with Stroud. They found a great quarterback. I don't want to hear about, well, Nico Collins is incredible. He was nobody, and he exploded into being somebody. And by the way, where'd they get their wide receiver that popped? Tank Dell, third, fourth round,
yeah.
So I just, like, I go through it and I go, quarterback's the number one most important position on the field for me. Number two is going to be the guy who's pressuring the quarterback. I think that's kind of more where football is going.
But you have one of those.
Yeah, but if you have two of them, then you're really in elite shape. Like, there's a reason Houston went out and added Danielle Hunter to Will Anderson, because now you can't game plan Will Anderson away. You have to worry about both sides of that line. I'd like to have a three technique too, but it's less important to me than getting two guys on the edge who are both high-level players, and you have an opportunity to bring pressure on a quarterback every down. That is wildly important to me.
312-332-3776 if you want to join us here talking about the Bears. What should they do with that ninth overall pick? Listen, if you're looking at an edge rusher, I think that you could be in the market for a trade back there.
I don't hate it.
And then maybe you find a way to get another first-round pick for next year, and you can kind of just keep parlaying this double first-round picks for a little bit here. If I'm in the market for an edge rusher, because there's quite a few of them, just like there's quite a few wide receivers, just like there's quite a few quarterbacks and offensive tackles, too, I don't think that you need to upgrade the offensive tackle quite yet. That's one of those that maybe next year's draft you look at and say, all right, maybe it's time to move on from Braxton Jones if the right opportunity presents itself. My whole thing with the offensive tackle is I look at, and this was before Keenan Allen came in, but the drop-off between your second guy and what you have currently or your option that you could be bringing in versus what you have currently, the drop-off between Braxton Jones and going up and getting a tackle is not that big, in my opinion. But the drop-off between what you used to have in your receiver room and what you could have in your receiver room in 2025, that being Tyler Scott, is a significant drop-off from if you were able to get one of these receivers. And I think the same can be said for the edge as well.
Yeah, it's just, in terms of what I'm valuing right now and what I think is important right now, I get the idea of addressing the receiving room in the future. But when you see a season a year ago where the two leading receivers were Puka Nacua and Rashee Rice, you just start to, like, as rookies, I mean, mm-hmm. you go, I don't know if I want to burn a number nine pick on a wide receiver right now. And it's not that I think Roma Dunze is going to be bad. I think he's a very good player. It's just the history of wide receivers in the first round. Not to say it is the running back position, because it's not. Wide receivers extremely valuable. It's just seems like there's really productive guys always available in the later rounds, and I don't feel like that's the same case at the edge. Then the opportunity to just solidify this line for the next five seasons and go every team in this division. I was talking to a buddy actually yesterday mm-hmm. who is a Lions fan, does radio in Detroit. Now he's on the phone. He's like, what do you think that they're doing with the ninth pick? I said, most people seem to want a Dunze or Neighbors, whoever's there at nine, a receiver. I have been strong. I would like an edge rusher. And he said to me, just as a Lions fan, I would prefer that you take a wide receiver than an edge rusher. Because think about the other three teams in this division. Yeah, it's one thing they got to deal with the offense, but those three wide receivers, it's a lot of mouths to feed. And still the number one worry is going to be DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. You get an edge rusher, and all of a sudden those three quarterbacks in this division, who knows in Minnesota, but Jordan Love in Green Bay and Jared Goff, who is terrible against pressure in Detroit, have to stare down the barrel of an elite pass rush group twice a year. Mm-hmm. That to me is way more valuable than adding Roma Dunze to be your wide receiver three.
Listen, I wouldn't be upset with if you went out and got an edge rusher. I get it. And I think it's probably the situation that the Bears are going to find themselves in. I just feel like some of these receivers are going to, like, I saw a mock draft the other day that went first four picks were quarterbacks, next three picks were receivers. I don't think that's going to happen, but there's a world where that happens. I think that there's a very real chance that the Bears may not have a chance to go up and get a receiver. Like, I think that may be off the board, and I'm not in the market to trade up for one of these guys. It's really nothing that appeals to me based on where you're at right now. I'm not in the market right now to try to trade up for future assets to go out and get a receiver. I would look at, because like you look at the track record though of some recent first round receivers, there's still some very, very like game breaking type of guys. And I look at, like, you can find some of these edge rushers in free agency. You don't really find quality receivers in free agency. Like, just look at the
maybe don't find them in free agency, but they get traded an awful lot. Tyreek Hill went.
Yeah, no, you do find
Stephon Diggs just got traded. But they get moved.
I don't want to have to trade for guys. I don't.
Why?
Because I'd rather sign them. If I can, you can sign edge rushers. We saw a number of good edge rushers get signed this offseason.
See, this is a problem. You're stuck in where we are right now. In the future, like, I think this offense already has a chance to be elite. I think if you go get an edge rusher, you have a chance to put together maybe a number one, number two defense in the NFL. You create an absolute unit of a defense with what the kids have become in the secondary. Respectfully, not using that term disrespectfully. I'm just saying they're young.
Yeah.
You've got the edge two edge rushers. If Jervon Dexter pops at defensive tackle, which would be easier when you have two guys on the edge who are delivering pressure virtually every down, I think you have an opportunity to have an elite offense and an elite defense. And at that point, with the quarterback in position, if Caleb Williams is good, I'm not worried about draft picks. I subscribe to the Rams model and the Chiefs model and the Patriots model for a long time, frankly. They never used their first-round picks. Once you get that quarterback in place and you're ready to go year after year, F the picks, man. We can find guys via trade. We will make the moves we need to make. We're not worried about staying super young. Like, that's the way this works. Once you get good, you're worried a lot less about giving up picks and trades.
And that's fine, but you have to get good first.
But that's my point. Like, I feel like edge rusher is the quicker way to do that.
312-332-3776. Kenny is in Downers Grove. What's up, Kenny?
Hi, good morning, guys. Love the morning show so far.
Appreciate it.
Just want to share my opinion. I was playing the what-if game, and a scenario came in where, what if DJ Moore goes down? How do we feel now about our wide receiver room? And that's why you've got to have that big consideration of that number 9 pick, taking a wide receiver, just because of, you know, Keenan Allen is not reliable, let's be honest, and he's a little bit older in the tooth, and he's in a one-year contract. Besides him and DJ, what else we got?
Yeah, I mean, Keenan Allen, not reliable, I think is one of the most overblown narratives in the NFL.
Yeah,
he's caught 100 passes for the last five seasons.
But you know he's going to miss a couple games.
Yeah, of course. He hasn't. When was the last time he played 17 games or the full season? It was like 4 years ago.
It was 21 of 16 or 17 game season.
I promise you, he will not practice throughout the entire week. He'll get that rep in on Thursday or Friday.
Which is fine.
I don't care. And that's perfect.
As long as you're there on Sunday.
But
I don't
care. What's going to happen. Yeah.
The what if DJ Moore thing goes down? Like, I can't plan for injury. Sorry, right. I didn't have the crystal ball out. What if Montez Sweat goes down? How do you feel about your D line?
Right. Like, I'm not drafting for injury, like, it as contingency plans for injury here, but I do think it is very plausible that you could see Keenan Allen walk in a year, and you're gonna have to figure that out. And, you know, like, wide receiver has been a blind spot for this regime in terms of finding guys later in the draft.
True.
And that's something that Ryan Poles gets no flack from me for the sins of previous regimes in terms of finding a quarterback. He didn't whiff on all those quarterbacks. He just played the hand he was dealt and now has a chance to use the first overall pick on a quarterback. But receivers, we've seen them try, and it has not looked pretty when you look at that's why I'm more of, like, these top 10 type of receivers, they're more known quantities. And if he swings and misses on a Roma Dunze or a Malik Nabers, it feels like that's more on the player as opposed to the general manager.
Totally fair.
312-332-3776 if you want to join us here. Potsy's doing something for the first time today. We'll discuss when we come back. Tyler Aki, Shane Orling on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shane on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. And speaking of Potsy, a new voyage today for Potsy.
This is true.
What do you got going on later today?
Dude, this is my first engagement party. Not mine.
All right.
A buddy of mine. One of my best friends, actually. So we got that. I got that going on today. My first ever engagement party.
All right.
Good for you. Look at you getting old.
Dude, right? It's weird. I'm only 24, too. My buddy's 25. So it's weird, though.
You know what I just realized, too? When Potsy said he's going to his first engagement party, I've never been to an engagement party.
Really?
No, never.
They're a waste of time.
Are they?
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's dumb.
Because you have to give a gift, right, for an engagement party?
No, not really.
Really?
What's protocol here?
Okay,
you can if you want, but, like, I wouldn't go crazy. You're going to get him a gift at the wedding.
Exactly.
Like, that's the bigger thing to me.
So
you know what you do?
Yeah, go on.
get him a card. Walk over to Walgreens, grab a card, and don't even spend big on this. Just get him a bottle of Cook's champagne. Be good to go.
Yeah, I got a thing of champagne. It was a little expensive. It was like a $60
bottle. Oh my god, yes.
Dude, I mean, he's like my best friend. So, like, I didn't know what to do, though. Like, that was the
thing. Panicked and bought it?
I panicked. It was like $55. Didn't know what to do. I'm like, I'll do it. He's one of my homies. It's from like, France or something. I don't know. We'll see.
Card and a bottle of wine is perfect. Last time I went to an engagement party, it was like a couple that's like kind of close to us,
mm-hmm.
and we gave $100 gift card. I was furious. I was like, what are we doing this for? Yeah, we got to give money at the wedding.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, because I know I got to give a nicer gift at the wedding, so I'll give them something for their housewarming gift.
You think you're going to be in the wedding?
Oh, for sure.
For sure?
Yeah.
Nice.
I would imagine.
Oh, well, then, dude, do you know how much money that's going to cost you? Have you stood in a wedding before?
No, I've never been to a wedding.
All right, Potsy, you are about to be brought along on one of the great scams in all of society.
Is this like going to like bar mitzvahs growing
up?
Dude,
you think that standing in a wedding is some beautiful honor and you're happy to be up there with your buddy, and it's true, it is. But also, it is ridiculously expensive. If somebody asked me and they weren't like my closest friend, there's one friend in my life, I think, right now that I would be like, yeah, I'd stand for you. Nobody else.
Wow.
Because it is a total waste of money. It's like you've got to buy the special suit or the tux, the rental, uh-huh. whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's $250 if they go cheap. If they're like, not cheap, but if you Men's Warehouse it, that's $250. If you go a level up, you're talking $400 or $500. You got to go on the bachelor party. That's a hotel room probably, or an Airbnb. A full weekend of buying booze, buying dinners, buying things, because God knows the groom cannot lift a finger or spend a dollar. You are about to be taken for one of the great rides in our society.
Interesting. Like, I'm excited. So I've never been to a wedding, and today should be fun. So it's like, this is the first time a bunch of our high school friends have really kind of all been in the same setting in a long time. So it's
all gonna, the boys are back in town.
Yeah, dude, it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
Shay just pushed Potsy off a ledge, and Potsy was like a total lemming about it.
Yeah.
He's excited for it. I mean, can't wait.
I just want him to be ready for this reality.
Yeah, like Shay's trying to like bring me down right now. I'm just trying to celebrate my buddy getting engaged.
Here I am, the scumbag. I'm like, this is horrible for you. Congrats to your friend, but you're in for it.
Kiss away $500. Never seeing that again.
No, I'm getting you ready for it because like I invited friends. My bachelor party was in Vegas and I knew I was being a bleeper.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm asking you to spend so much money to go on this trip with me, in addition to renting a tux, in addition to all these other things. You are just bleeping away cash to have the honor of standing next to me on my wedding day.
It's true.
There was a certain level of guilt that came with it. Now, dude, like, it is fun being able to go through all of that, but now if somebody asks me to stand, or if they don't, even better, because I'm like, there's $1,500 that I didn't have to spend.
Potsy's like was telling me too during the break, like, this is a drill sergeant operation right now because he's getting hustled out of here.
I'm getting hustled out of here. My buddy texted us yesterday. He's like, yo, if you're not ready by, because he brought his car down here just for 24 hours. He's like, yo, if you're not ready at 11 a.m., find your own way home back to the burbs. It's in Lake Forest. So,
oh my God.
And I'm like, dude, what?
Potsy's out of here at 10:30.
I'm like, what are you talking about? So, like, I'm going to get back to my apartment at like 10:50. I got like 10 minutes. I got my clothes laid out like a good boy. It's on my bed.
Like a good boy.
Yeah, my present.
What are you,
next,
dog?
My present next to the door, dude. So, Who is this guy
that your friend, like, he woke up pissed off yesterday.
Yeah, dude, I was telling this to Tyler Shay. I'm like, dude, my buddy just woke up pissed off. I'm like, if I'm not ready by 11, he's gone. I'm going to have to spend another $50 Uber. So, nah.
What are the chances, set the gambling odds. Are you going to be ready by 11 a.m.?
I'll make it work, yeah. I'll be outside on the curb at 11:02. He's going to have to take it or leave it.
Your ass is getting left in the dust, dude.
Dude, that would suck. I would be so mad. I would barge into the engagement party, pure anger. Just make it about you.
You're gonna get in there and make this about yourself. So how many people is this guy driving?
Let's see. I think three. So him and three others.
Where are you on the pickup route?
Dude, he has to. It's. I kind of feel for him. Not really. So he has to go from Streeterville, I think, to Wrigley-ish area, and then back to Streeterville.
Why?
I'm in Streeterville.
Why doesn't he just wait for you?
Yeah.
I don't know, because his car's in Wrigley, I think, because he parked it at a buddy's house because it was
that
like,
sounds like a
cheap.
Him problem. What's
yeah,
the deal
I know.
Here?
Yeah, I know. So
why is he getting mad we'll at see. You?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, dude, it's 10 minutes. Like, you,
this guy needs to plan times. Better.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I got to take out my dog, and I'm like, oh, I don't buy it.
That is route inefficiency at its finest.
Oh, cry about
I'm
it.
I'm excited
I take
though.
The
food,
dog
dude.
Out.
The food, drink with the buddies. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it'd be great. You'll have a great time.
Nice.
What do you? What's the fit like for the engagement party? I got to. Are you
right on the bed right now?
That's another thing. I got a couple options out there. I got a button-down shirt. It's supposed to be nice out, I think.
Yeah.
So
it's
and then
like 70
khaki
today.
Pants or jeans? What do I do there?
You got to go khaki. You can't wear jeans. Got to okay, go khaki pants. Got to like at least big, like semi-formal. Though.
This is a big to-do?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've never been to one. I don't know.
I don't know.
No, you can't do jeans. Jeans
don't like,
fly.
I don't think it's going to be the biggest deal. Like, it's really just like my hometown homies. We're going to the house that like – we hung out every weekend. It's a ginormous house.
Boys are going to be ripping sticks in the basement.
Dude, ripping sticks. Like old times. Watching the Masters. We'll have that peeped on, so we'll see. We'll see.
Love it.
It's going to be a great day for you.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us here. We will be back with you next week, 8 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. The CDGA Golf Show coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.